Thank you, you are here, and we exalt you and honor you today. In the name of Jesus, Yeshua, our Messiah, we pray. Amen. You may be seated. So, for those of you who don't know me, Mark says there's only one or two at most. So, my name's Enoch Lavender, and I'm a pastor based at Living Way in Blackburn. Sarah and I head up together a ministry called Shalom Israel. So we were married in November, the journey goes back some time when Mum and I began to come to BH about 10 years back. We want to learn about Israel, want to learn to understand God's heart and purpose for his people. And it was such a blessing to come here and just get a feeling of it. Even though we didn't understand the Hebrew, it was such a blessing to come and just get that insight, just begin to spark a flame in our heart for God's purposes for his people. But I was single, and the years went by, and I was praying, and Lawrence was at work. You see, Lawrence needed a youth leader, and so he sent for a lady in Queensland. I had a feeling it was someone interstate. I didn't know where she was. And Lawrence sent her down here. He paid for it. Such a good guy. So if you're single today, have a talk to Lawrence. He'll take care of it. It's Louise. Okay, all right, it's Louise. All right then. All right, the secret's out. It's Louise. Don't tell anyone. And so in November, we got married. Lawrence doing the ceremony for us. Many of you were there. We've got some more news. I think many of you know. We are expecting Sarah is pregnant. And we're expecting not just one, but two. We got married late, but we're catching up. So today I'll be sharing with you a topic called the Law of First Mention. But before we get there, I'll just mention that we've got an upcoming seminar for Shalom Israel. And we've got a special deal for BH people, because our seminar does clash with your morning service. So come to the morning service here, come and join us in the afternoon, and you get a special discounted rate. All right? Come to morning service here, come and join us in the afternoon. Our speaker is Willem Glasauer. He's an international speaker who's spoken for about 30 years on God's heart and purposes for Israel. If you think you know it all, think again. This is an amazing teacher, so in-depth, verse by verse, line by line. I'd really encourage you, if you're able to come in the afternoon, come and join us. We'll have a sign-up sheet at the back for you afterwards. We've got some resources as well at the back. A DVD called The Third Temple, one on the wars of Israel, and one on the story of Sarah and myself called The Bridegroom is Coming. If you're interested in romance, you're interested in end times, check out that DVD. No, says Sarah, it's not all that good. Yes, it is good, Sarah. All right, so often the first mention of a word or topic in the Bible gives some insight into its meaning. And so we're going to develop this theme as we go today. As Jesus was asked about marriage, he took his answer back to the very beginning. He said it was, have you not read at the beginning that the Creator made them male and female? So he's pointing back to the original definition. He's saying lots of things have happened since then, but let's go back to the beginning. Let's understand the purpose God set in place even back then and use that as a starting point to understand God's purpose for husband, wife, and marriage. And so this is an example of going back to the first mention of a topic. So we're going to look at three separate examples of this and how it relates to the character, nature, and heart of God. Love. The first mention of love in the Bible is found in Genesis 22. And it's the story of Abraham. And Abraham's called by God, and God speaks to Abraham and says, take your son whom you love. Take your son whom you love and go to Mount Moriah. Go and sacrifice him for me on one of the mountains. It's amazing that this is the first mention of love in the Bible. The very first mention. And so this picture of love that we see at the beginning of the Bible points to the father's love for a son, a father who cares and loves his precious only son. And this is the first love mentioned. Isaac, the miracle son, the only son, willingly following his father to the altar, carrying the wood. A picture, as we know, of Yeshua our Messiah, praying, "Not my will, but yours be done." He came to do the Father's will. But in this we see the Father's heart, because the Father had to be willing to sacrifice his son. And we, as we read the story of Abraham going with Isaac, he doesn't say much. It seems like it is a silent journey, but you can feel the anguish of his heart as he's walking with his son. He knows what lies ahead, but he is willing to do it. Maybe this is a picture of the ultimate love of the universe, the love of God the Father for his son. We don't hear in the Bible of God the Father's response to what was happening. All we know is what Jesus or Yeshua was saying on the cross. How he was saying, my God, why have you forsaken me? But we don't read of what was happening in heaven at that time. We don't read of the heart of the Father who would have been weeping for his son. The first mention of love in the Bible is that love of the Father who was willing to sacrifice his son. That is an amazing, tremendous love. It gives love a different perspective. You know, in our society today, there's a debate, what is love? Does love mean you just let people do whatever they want to do? Is that love? No, it's not. But there is a love that is willing to sacrifice, a love that's willing to give up one's very best for someone else, a love that's willing to lay down one's life for someone else. That is the first and primary example of love in the Bible. In John 17, Yeshua said, "Father, you loved me before the creation of the world." And he spoke in such intimate terms of his relationship with the Father. He always did what his Father told him to do. He walked with his Father day after day, week after week, hearing the voice of the Father, fellowshipping with the Father, to the point of obeying the Father to go to the cross. It's an amazing picture of the Father's love for his son, an amazing picture of God's love for Yeshua, and ultimately for us. Yet he gave. It says, "For God so loved the world, he so loved you and I, that he gave." He gave the most precious thing that he had. He gave his son for you and I. Sometimes we don't realize the depth, the wonder of the price he paid, of his willingness to give for you and I, that we should become his children as well. The Father loves the Son, but the Father loves the world so much that he gave his Son for you and I. The first example of love in the Bible is the Father's love. It's the foundation. The Father's love is the foundation of all other loves. Derek Prince was a legendary Bible teacher, and he said that the greatest achievement of any man is to be a father. It's not to go out and get a Nobel Prize. It's not to go out and be successful in business or successful in ministry, get the acclaim of the world. It is to be a father. Why is that? Because being a father, you are representing God the Father himself. You're representing to your children the love of a God who loves us like a father. His love, of course, is perfect. Ours isn't. But the opportunity to be a father, the opportunity to love the next generation, means that we represent him. Yes, we aren't perfect, but it is the highest achievement and the highest call. Sometimes we get so busy with career, with life, with work, with paying off our mortgage, that we lose sight of the big things. Our family, the people God has put around us. Now, you may be single, you may not have ever married, but you can be a father to someone, and just being a friend to someone who's younger, supporting them in their walk with the Lord, being a father to many in the faith. It is a privilege to be a father, and I'm just learning about it myself. There's a lot to learn, but it touches my heart, this theme of being a father. Children who grow up with an absent father feels that God himself is absent. Children who grow up with a father who they can't talk to feel they can't talk to God. Children who grow up with a father who just seems very strict and on their back all the time feel that God is very strict and on their back all the time. Children who have a relationship with their father say, I don't want any more to do with that man. Say the same about God, saying, I don't want anything to do with him either. You encounter people who say they hate God. Stop for a moment and ask them about their relationship with their father. So often it's connected together. So often there's been a hurt, there's been a wound that has damaged them and damaged their understanding of God the Father. What a privilege, but what a responsibility to be a father. It can hinder one's self-image. You know, we are made in the image, ultimately, of our parents. When I was young, my mum and dad separated, and it was a difficult time for me. And I had problems with my dad. For a while, I didn't want to talk to him at all. The problem was, when I looked in the mirror, I'd see the image of my father. Some of you might be like that too, that you don't like your father and you have problems with understanding him. But as you look in the mirror, you see his image reflected in you. And I could see his image reflected in me. And I struggled with that image. And there's an enemy out there who uses these experiences to hit us, to come with his arrows saying, you're worth nothing. Saying, you're not loved. You're not chosen. Saying there is no future or hope for you. Saying you are ugly. You look like your dad. And so there was a period of time when I had to deal with this in my life and come to a point of realizing that my dad is made in the image of God. That ultimately, yes, I am in his image, but ultimately I'm in the image of God. I had to forgive him for where I felt hurt and had to recognize and realize the strengths in him. And just give thanks for the good things. There was a period of time where I couldn't think of any positive experiences during my childhood with him. But I had to look back and say, God, what is it I can hold on to? And I thank you that he is made in your image, and so am I. And so God began a process of healing that and enabling me then to become who I'm called to be. Because for me to be a father, I first have to know God the Father. I have to know his love. And so the first love mentioned in the Bible is the love of a father. Because he wants you and I to know that foundation, that foundational love is the love of the Father. As I met Sarah, she just began to talk to me again and again about that she was praying and she felt Father say, go and do this, and she saw Father provide this and Father do this and Father do that. I said, Sarah, why are you saying Father, Father, Father all the time? Why aren't you saying God? Well, for her, she had a close relationship with her dad. Her dad was a man who walked with God. Her dad was a man who had a heart for God, a heart of worship. Yes, he had issues. Yes, he had challenges. But he overcame them by coming close to God. And so for her, she could see the reflection of God in her dad. And so it was very natural for her to speak of God the Father and to see his love and his care in her life. It gave her a foundation. It gave her a solid starting point. Doesn't mean she didn't have issues, but it gave her a foundation to come through, to overcome. It gave her a strong and deep foundation because she knew the love of a father. There might be some of you here today who haven't experienced this love of a father. And we'll be opening up later on for some prayer around this topic, but I want you to know that no matter what's happened in your life, no matter what your background has been, God is able to heal and restore and turn it around. Where there's been hurt and pain that has gone through your life, it's not impossible for God to heal and restore. He is well able to make you the person you're called to be, despite your past, despite your childhood, despite what you have faced. Because he is a father whose love supersedes every other love. He so loved us that he gave his son. He so loves us that he wants to heal every heart and bring us to that close relationship with him as a father. He is well able to heal. He is well able to restore. Yes, he does heal in the natural. If you're facing issues with sickness, he is able to heal. But he's also a God who can heal the heart. He's a God who can heal and transform the heart, taking away the hurt and pain and bringing instead a foundation of his love in our lives. God is a God who restores. So the first love in the Bible points to God's love for his Son. It's a foundational love for all of us. And he wants to reveal his Father's love to us and to a world distant from his love. I want to move now from talking about the Father's love to go to the second mention of love in the Bible. The second mention of love is found in the story of Isaac and Rebekah. So only the second time love is mentioned is when Isaac encounters his wife-to-be. Isaac, the chosen son of the father, is looking for a bride. And the servant, as we know, was sent to faraway country to find her, to find someone with the right heart, to find someone who had a heart for God. And she was given the choice. Would she say yes? Saying yes to a long journey. Saying yes to a man she has not met, but ultimately saying yes to the purpose and destiny of God. In Genesis 24:66, Isaac married Rebekah, and she became his wife, and he loved her. No doubt other couples in the Bible loved each other, but God chose this story. He chose this story to portray the love of the chosen son, the love of the son who was sacrificed, the love of the one who was the special only son of the father, the love for a bride who came from afar, the love for a bride who hadn't met him, yet trusted him, yet loved him, and yet was willing to leave everything else behind to find and encounter this man. That is the love that God chooses to portray as the first love of a couple in the Bible. Because you and I, we are called to be the bride or Messiah. We are called and we are chosen. We are selected to be one, to be engaged to him, to be ready and waiting for his return. We are going for a journey of life where we don't physically see him. But like Rebecca, we trust. We have seen the signs. We have seen things happen in our lives. We can see God's plan in this, and we submit ourselves to him. We are willing to travel that journey through life. But in that journey, let's keep the expectation and hope up. I'm sure Rebecca would have been excited, but also a bit nervous on the journey. What's it going to be like? What is he like? Does he have bad breath? She would have had many questions, but ultimately she could see that God was doing this. And so she was willing to go. She was willing to encounter this man. You and I have a journey. And that journey is a long journey. For many of us, we've been believers for many years. But let's keep that love fresh in our hearts for him. Keep that love fresh, that expectation fresh. Because he wants to come for a bride who is ready. And the bride has to prepare herself. And you and I, as part of the bride, are to be ready. A bride doesn't see getting herself dressed up in white as a big, difficult chore. She is excited about her dress. She is excited about looking the very best for her day. And so you and I are to be clothed in white. We are not to do these things as a chore, but because we love him, we do what he's called us to do, getting ready for him, getting ready for that day. Ephesians 5 says that marriage is a beautiful design of the Almighty, a great and sacred mystery meant to be a vivid example of Christ or the Messiah and his church. It's the beautiful design of the Almighty. And I believe God has put a desire for romance in our hearts. But ultimately, it is a picture of eternity. See, some of us are looking for love in all the wrong places. I've been there on the journey of being single for many years. Keep my eyes open. Where is she? Maybe that's that one. Maybe it's that one. I get my hopes up and my hopes come crashing down. I get my hopes up again and then they come crashing down again. And again, and again, and again. It was kind of fun while my hopes were up high, and it was kind of devastating when they came crashing down to the ground. But in that journey, there is a lot of pain. And in a sense, the focus becomes wrong. Because yes, God has designed marriage. Yes, he has ordained it. But there's no one person who can answer every need of your heart. It's not when you meet this person, you'll suddenly be fully complete. There's nothing lacking anymore. The most important thing is your relationship with your heavenly bride, with your heavenly bridegroom, sorry. He is the one who can answer every need of your heart. He is the one who perfectly fulfills the desires, the longing in your heart. And sometimes in our looking for someone here on earth, we lose focus of that one in heaven who is waiting for us. He is the one. He is the answer. Don't put your hopes on someone else to answer those every need. Put your hope on him. One of my favorite verses during that journey was found in Micah 7. And it's kind of a difficult verse. It says, "Do not trust in a friend. Do not put your confidence in a companion. Guard the doors of your mouth from her who lies in your bosom." Now, it doesn't sound like good marriage advice, does it? It doesn't sound good for relationships in general. Don't trust your friends. Don't put your confidence in a companion. What's he talking about? Well, verse 6, "For son dishonors father, daughter rises against her mother, daughter-in-law against mother-in-law. A man's enemies are the men of his own household." He's saying that there are times when people will fail you. And when you're putting your trust in someone other than God, they're going to fail you. When you're looking for that something from someone that's going to put your whole life together, you'll find yourself ultimately getting crushed. Your dreams being shattered. Because it's not one person who can answer it, but it is the Lord himself. It says in Micah 7:7, "Therefore, I will wait and look to the Lord. I will wait for the God of my salvation. My God will hear me." His focus is saying, okay, yes, I know that people will fail me, but I'll lift my eyes to God. He will never, ever, ever fail. So if you're going through the journey of looking for someone, look for God. Look for your heavenly bridegroom. Look for his love. Seek after him, because in so doing, you'll find what you are looking for. And perhaps he'll send the right one your way as well. Perhaps he'll get Lawrence to send a youth leader down here who'll be just the right person for you. Who knows? Stop looking for the right one and look for the Lord. And in a sense, for those of us who are married, don't put your expectation on your husband or wife to meet your every single need. Draw close to God and find your refuge in him. And that will enable you to be the blessing you're called to be to your spouse. That will enable you to be the source of blessing instead of being someone who desperately needs them in your life. You can be the blessing to them because you are encountering the God of life in your life. So the second great love God shows us is through the picture of marriage. And I believe God has intended the marriage relationship to be a demonstration of his love. Through the family, God is demonstrating the love of a father and the love between husband and wife. Just a visual representation to the children of the love that he has ordained between husband and wife. And ultimately, the picture of the bride and the bridegroom, the picture of the Lord's exclusive love for you and I. No wonder family is under such assault. And family is the highest ministry. Let's prioritize our families. Let's prioritize working and building and strengthening the relationships God has put us in. Let's value and love those God has put around us. Because yes, you can do all kinds of wonderful achievements in the world, but how is your family life going? How is it going with those people who are closest to you? This is so foundational, so important, and it ultimately represents to your children and those around you the love of God. Let's work on our marriages. Let's work on those relationships. Security to the children. I've got a picture here of a mum who's struggling to sleep because the baby's up all the time. I hope we don't go there, but I think we'll have a few sleepless nights along the way, won't we, Sarah? Times two. Okay. All right. But there was a story of a child that just absolutely would not sleep. And the parents were trying every single method in the book. They're trying this, they're trying that, they're trying this, they're trying that. And the child is just screaming and crying and screaming and crying and keeping them up all night long. And so these parents, they met a Christian couple. And the Christian couple said, "Oh, I think we've got the answer for you." And the husband said, "Well, if you've got the answer for me, I'm going to eat my shirt." So they said, "Well, this is what we want you to do. We want you as a couple, when you first come back home from work, just go and sit down with your wife on the couch. Just talk to each other in front of your kids. Just talk to each other and spend 10, 15 minutes doing that and do that every day." I said, "How's that going to help?" "Well, just give it a try." So they gave it a try. And the next time this couple met the Christian couple, the guy began to take off his shirt. He was ready to eat it. So what had happened? Well, as the child saw the love between mum and dad, the child felt secure. And the child was able to sleep. God wants there to be that secure love relationship between mum and dad, to provide that nurturing environment for the kids as they're growing up. And so we need to maintain that strong relationship that God has put us in. Seeing the love between mum and dad gave the child the security to sleep and to rest. Being the bride, it's an exclusive love. It's a love based on mutual commitment and sacrifice. It's a personal and intimate love and involves waiting for the groom. We have a journey ahead of us and involves a choice to say yes. How does he see you? It was really, really exciting getting married, and I was so looking forward to seeing Sarah on the day. Now, she had bought a dress ahead of time, and I was kind of keen to see it. I was like, "I want to see the dress." She said, "No." I said, "Well, I'll just take a little peek." "No." And so I had to wait. I had to wait patiently. But I was so excited when I saw her walking down the aisle in a beautiful dress. There's a heavenly groom who's excited. He can't wait to see you on that day, to see you in that dress of righteousness, that robe of righteousness, that white garment. He can't wait to see you. Sometimes we look at ourselves and say, "Well, who am I? What's so exciting about me?" But when he, the heavenly bridegroom, sees you, he's going to be so excited, so thrilled, he can't wait. Let's see ourselves through his eyes. See ourselves the way he sees us. It says in Ephesians 5 that he's going to present us to himself a glorious church, a glorious assembly, not having spot or wrinkle, to be holy and without blemish. So the second use of the word love shows us the Son's love for his bride. And let's look for the heavenly bridegroom. And marriage is that vivid picture to our children of this love. And we are chosen by him, and he's excited to see us. And we have the choice. So we're talking about the Father. We've talked about the Son. And we're going to head into another aspect of God's heart and character. And this has to do with compassion. The first time the word compassion is used in the Bible is at Mount Sinai. When Moses is there with the people of Israel, Moses has experienced so much of God. He's seen the miracles of God. He's seen the provision of God. He's seen God work wonders in Egypt. He knows so much about God. Yet he is hungry for more. And so he begins to intercede and pray. And as he senses God's favor, he asks what is really, really on his heart. He says, "God, show me. Show me your glory. I want to see you. I want to know you more than I know you so far." You know, some of us, we've gone through life as believers. We've got to know him to a certain point. But we need to have that continued hunger for more of him. Say, "God, I want to know you more." And that was Moses. He said, "God, I've known you so far. I've seen so much of you, but I want to know you more. Show me more of who you are. Show me more of your character. Show me more of your love. Who are you? Show me your glory." And so the Lord comes in the cloud and stands there with him and proclaims his name, the Lord. And he passes in front of Moses, proclaiming, the Lord, the compassionate and gracious God, slow to anger, and abounding in love and faithfulness. This is the first time the word compassion is used in the Bible. The first time. And it is used as God is revealing his character, revealing his heart, revealing who he is. He says, I am a compassionate God. It is in the context of Moses praying for Israel. They have sinned. They've worshipped a golden calf at the mountain. And he's interceding and praying for Israel that God will be merciful to them. And in the midst of this context of Israel having sinned, Moses is saying, God, show me your glory. I want to lift my eyes past the sin and the issues I'm seeing. I want to see more of you. And in that context, God reveals his compassion. Because intercession, as we're praying for others, it has to be motivated by compassion. It's not just, oh, well, God bless these people. God help them. They're not as good as I am. Help them, Lord. It has to be from an attitude of love and compassion. And so God reveals his compassion in the context of a people who have gone astray. In the context of a people who have sinned, he reveals his compassion. Says, I am a God of love and a God of mercy. And it comes from the Hebrew word racham, which is the word for womb. And it points to a mother's unending love. It points to a love that totally surrounds, that totally protects, a love that surrounds the developing little child. That we have a phrase, a son, that only a mother could love. And we are amazed by the love of mothers, the faithful love of mothers for their children. So many of us have been saved because of our mother's prayers for us. That love that is there, they're believing the best, they're expecting the best. They're praying for us, they want to see a breakthrough in our lives. A mother's love is unending and unfailing. But ultimately it is a picture of a greater love. It is a picture of the compassionate nature of God himself, that he never fails, he never gives up. He never lets go. Yes, a mother may forget. Yes, a mother may fail. But God's love is never ending. God's love is there. From beginning to end, he is there. Ultimately, we are created, male and female, in the image of God. And so often we can bring out the male attributes of God. So God the Father, God the Son. But there's elements regarding the female nature that are pictured and mirrored in God himself. And so as he's talking about being compassionate, this word for womb is what he's using to describe his love. Like a mother's love for the children. In the Hebrew Bible, the Holy Spirit is always described using the feminine. Now, in the New Testament, Jesus is very clear. He said, when I send the Holy Spirit, he will guide you into all the truth. But in the Hebrew text, it's consistently using the feminine pronouns. So basically, you could say something like, the Holy Spirit, she was hovering over the waters in the book of Genesis. The Holy Spirit, she came upon this prophet and he spoke. That's how you could translate it. And so as I discovered that, I was really puzzled, what's going on here? But the Holy Spirit represents in so many ways some of the feminine characteristics. The comforter, the counselor, the advocate, the one who is by us all along, the one who stands with us, the one who understands, the intercessor, the one who has a gentle spirit. The one that we're not to grieve. Jesus said that all sins will be forgiven apart from grieving the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is, there's something there that represents the feminine, the gentle and caring and loving. And mothers, you have an amazing role in loving your children. I know sometimes we as kids don't appreciate you enough. Sometimes we think you're just on our back and you're nagging us. But really we want to thank you for your love for us, because that has laid a foundation in our lives of ultimately knowing the compassion and love of God for us. Even when we fail, even when we sin, we know that you are with us. I went through a time as a teenager where I was struggling in my faith. And ultimately I came to my mum, I began to talk about it, share around it. Now I thought she would whack me over the head. So, son, don't do that and do this. But instead, she had a love and a compassion for me. And that brought me through the other side. That brought me through and back to where I should be in my walk with God. And that was such a picture to me of God's love for us. That when we come to him, he's not there whacking us down. He is helping us through to the other side. He understands where we're coming from, but he wants us to bring us to a place of holiness, a place of living for him, a place of breakthrough in our lives. He loves us, but wants to bring us to the breakthrough. A mother's love is so special. And I want to encourage you mothers today, thank you for what you have done in our lives. Thank you for the mothers you have been to us. We honor you and we thank you, because you're representing the love of God to your children. Isaiah 49 says, "Can a mother forget the baby at her breast and have no compassion on the child she has born?" And basically the question is supposed to be saying, no, it's impossible. And God's reply is, even if there's a slight chance that she may forget, I will not forget you. He carries that love for us of a mother. I want to share about a bird. Because God again chooses the family to reveal his love, and this time through the mother. Psalm 91 says that he will cover us with his feathers, and under his wings we take refuge. We spoke about Igal early on, actually, and his surname is Abid, and that comes from the Hebrew word for feathers. And that word also relates to the word for strength. We think of feathers being to fly, but in the Hebrew, the word for feathers means strength. It means protection, because under his wings we find protection and safety. And so we want to share with you a story about compassion. And I'd like to ask Sarah to come and share a bit of her journey. She's gone through his morning sickness and been really feeling quite out of sorts. But it's been a journey of encountering God's compassion and love, which brought a real breakthrough.
So if none of you are aware, both my parents have passed away. But the detail behind my mother is a little bit unique. And when she found out she had cancer, with stomach cancer, she also found out she was 14 weeks pregnant with my baby brother. And so all the cancer treatment that would be offered, the doctors said, you need to abort so that you can do this treatment. My parents were asked 3 times, will you abort? And they said no. And 9 months or so many months later, my brother came along, full term, no complications, perfect healthy baby. But because of that, Mum, 6 months later, passed away. And 6 months of just in leading up to when he was born, I had some intercession time with a counsellor. And we came to the realisation that, as any mother would do, cry out to God and say, what's going to happen to my kids? What's going to happen? And I'll just take you to the story. The other week we were praying for me regarding sickness and all the rest of it. And the Lord gave me the word compassion. And I was just sharing at communion about compassion and how when people pray for you, just like Jesus had compassion on the sick, he prayed for them and they were healed. I was up on the Gold Coast a month back, and this woman had survived cancer, stage 4 cancer. And I'm looking at this woman going, oh my gosh, you are healed, my parents aren't. But I actually get to see someone live, because I hadn't seen that, a parent live. And I give this word, and it was actually after she shared a testimony and prayed for me that my morning sickness actually stopped for a few days. And looking back, I was like, her compassion and her prayer for me, in a sense, broke through the barrier of sickness and I became well. Anyway, I got back and give this message about compassion. And that night, Enoch shares about this bird. And he said, there's this bushfire that came through. And after the bushfire came through, the people went out looking, scouring the land. And they saw this bird sitting, hadn't moved. And it burnt to a crisp, and they wondered why. Well, when they moved the bird, there were baby chicks underneath, still alive, had survived the fire. And what that really spoke to me, and I don't know if you can link the dots yet, but when Mum said no to cancer treatment, she said yes to staying on that nest so that Matthew and I wouldn't be burnt in the fire. And once I got that revelation, I knew I was healed, like no more sickness, all the rest of it. And you know, sometimes I would, excuse the details, vomit and all the rest, and I'm like, I had no reason because I knew I was healed. And you know, it was only 5 days ago I was sharing this with my brother because I really felt he needed to hear this as well. And I said, Matthew, he not only had me in, like, Mum not only protected me, but she protected you. And the Holy Spirit came in that moment and said, I took care of you. I offered to take care of you. And that's what he did. When my mother was crying out saying, who will look after my kids? I really believe the Holy Spirit was saying, I'll take care of them. I'll take them and I'll look after them. And so in all the years of being a single parent family, we never felt it. The reason was the Holy Spirit was that second parent. Dad would have issues with me and my brother and would, you know, would mouth off at Dad. And one time I remember the Holy Spirit going, don't say anymore. Because he was allowing God to be that second parent for us, to have that compassion. And once I shared that testimony with my brother, you know, I haven't been sick since. It's the compassion that heals. Sympathy lets the person stay in sickness, but compassion breaks through and brings healing to the individual.
That's good. Well, it says of Jesus that he saw the multitudes and he was moved with compassion. He didn't just heal them out of his power, not just out of his demonstration of his strength. He healed out of compassion because he understands and his heart is for people. You might be facing sickness in your life today or areas that need healing in your heart, and I believe God is going to move in your life today regarding healing, but he's doing that out of compassion because he loves you, not because he's just so powerful and so great. He can do it, he is well able, but out of compassion he loves and cares about you and wants you to be well. He wants to be well body, soul and spirit. He wants to see a breakthrough in your life. He wants you to know afresh the love of a father. He wants you to know afresh the love that he has for you as his bride. And he wants you to know afresh his compassion, his motherly care for you. So I'd like us we'll close in prayer. We'll have the worship team come. But we'll also open up the altar. For any of you who would like prayer at the end, we're very happy to pray with you in this time. So can we stand together as we close in prayer? So Father God, I thank you for your love for us, for your love for your creation. Thank you that you are a Father who cares, a Father who perfectly loves us and understands us. And Lord, wherever our hearts have been wounded by our earthly fathers, I pray for your healing touch right now. Lord, for healing of the hurts, healing of the broken hearts. Lord, that we will know your love as a father, your love that never fails, your love that never ends, your love that is there. That we will know that we know that we know that foundational love of the Father. And Lord, I thank you for the privilege of being your bride. And I pray you'll continue to prepare us for that day when we'll encounter you face to face. I thank you have chosen us. We are holy in your sight. Lord, we renounce the lies of condemnation that hold us in chains, that make us feel inferior, because you see us as holy, precious, a beautiful bride who you can't wait to see. And so we speak a new perspective on ourselves at this time, that we'll see ourselves as a bride who is beautiful in your sight. That we'll see ourselves as a bride who you are waiting to see. That we'll see ourselves as a bride and live like the bride with confidence and expectation of that day that is to come. Thank you, Lord. And Sarah, could you pray we go in compassion?
Holy Spirit, we just invite you right here, right now. I just pray, Lord, for individuals here that are needing healing for themselves, healing for the family members. Father, I just pray, Holy Spirit, that you would wash over them, that you would speak to their heart your compassion, just like you spoke direct to me in a revelation. Lord, that you would give them fresh revelation of just how much compassion you have for them. How much compassion, how much love, how much mercy that you have for us and our family members that are still struggling. And Father, I just pray that as they go away today, Lord, that you would encounter them in their journaling, in their own secret place. Lord, that they would know to stand on that word, that you love them, that you care for them, that you are passionately for them and not against them. Lord, that they would see clearly that this sickness, that this infirmity, that this issue that is going on is not God against them, but it is of the enemy to kill, steal, and destroy. So, Father, I just pray for a fresh revelation that you want and you desire their hearts to, and their bodies to be healed. Holy Spirit, we just welcome you here right now.
So if any of you would like to